let's talk about is recorded and produced in Treaty 1 territories, on the original lands of the Anishinaabe, Cree, Oji-Cree, Dakota, and Dene peoples, and on the homeland of the Métis Nation. Thank you very much for listening. Hello, and welcome back to the Tech Talk series here on Let's Talk About. It is the week of May 16th, and we're continuing on with some more content here on Let's Talk About with what I found to be a fairly interesting concept. The last 2 weeks, we've talked about technology that will allow us to reduce the amount of carbon that exists in both our atmosphere and in our oceans more specifically, talking about capture as technology in the membrane that they're using to capture blue carbon and the concept of seagrass and its carbon reducing or its carbon recapture capabilities and its ability to produce massive amounts of sugar for human consumption, based both reducing carbon and increasing the world's supply of sugar as our sugar supply is dwindling. But here is a very interesting concept that tangentially has something to do with carbon in our atmosphere, but it's mostly in a material sense. And this is a type of material that is a smart roof coating. And it's a type of material that will change the way we heat and cool our homes in the future. And it's a really interesting kind of high-tech solution, or not high-tech solution, but it's scientifically very interesting. Currently, and for a lot of us here in Manitoba, about 99%, 99 point something percent of electricity in the province comes from renewable sources. Manitoba Hydro produces more, as I've talked about in previous episodes, Manitoba Hydro produces more electricity than Manitoba actually requires. The power demand of the province is much lower than the power generation capabilities that our hydroelectric dams have. So we've future-proofed ourselves in terms of increasing power demand with increasing population, increasing power needs moving forward, while also providing us a money-making venture in terms of power sales, giving excess power to different provinces and states around us. However, there is a difference here, and anybody who owns a home or somebody, some of you who live in apartments might know this as well. A lot of the province is heated, and Manitoba Hydro provides this as well, is heated through natural gas. You know, my parents, their house is heated by natural gas. Where I live, we actually have electrical heating, which is kind of an old-fashioned more or less system. Well, we use radiators we use radiator heat, which is just heated water going through pipes. But it is electrically powered. There's no propane or there's no natural gas being burned to warm up the water in the system. It is purely electrical power, which I think is a direction that we need to head if we're thinking about green alternatives and using less fossil fuels and natural gas. Turning to electrical power and electrical power from or electrical heat and electrical heat with electricity from green sources is a good way to go. But this is a way to even bypass the need for electricity and heating in the first place. It's not going to completely completely get rid of it, but it is a way to lower our requirements and our need for electrical heating. Right now in Manitoba, you know, when it drops down to minus 30 in the winter, you've got your furnace turned on and it's putting, you know, through the vents in your house is putting hot air into the system. Or here in my apartment, the radiator turns on and hot water is pumped into the radiator and it literally just radiates heat into the room very effectively, might I add. But this technology here might change the way that we heat our homes. So this smart roof coating operates in a very interesting way. It's energy-free, emission-free air conditioning and heating all in one device, says Junhua Wu, who is one of the developers of this technology. But it is a type of coating. It's an all-season smart roof covering that keeps homes warm in the winter and cool in the summer. It's a phase-shifting material that uses a simple physics trick to get the job done without added electricity. A team out of UC Berkeley has invented what they call a temperature-adaptive radiative coating. This is a direct quote. All our all-season roof coating automatically switches from keeping you cool to warm depending on outdoor air temperature. This is energy-free, emission-free air conditioning and heating all in one device. So the material scientist, a material scientist at UC Berkeley said in a statement. So what this ingredient, the secret ingredient in this coating is, or what this coating is primarily made of, is a material called vanadium dioxide. It is a material that is commonly used today. It is used in window coatings and to conduct electricity in batteries. And the important thing that it does is it acts like a metal to electricity, but an insulator to heat. It actually changes depending on temperature. So it conducts electricity without conducting heat. And we use it on window coatings, as I mentioned. But it changes phases, it changes its form, going from transparent and not absorbing thermal infrared light and being a metal that absorbs to a metal that absorbs thermal and infrared heat. So it changes from a metal to a non-metal form. So the swapping of phases is what makes the material so good for being used in a rooftop. How it currently works. So when vanadium oxide is at room temperature, the sun's earth-warming infrared radiation will travel through it. However, when it reaches 67 degrees Celsius, its characteristics change, and it blocks infrared light, allowing the sun in when it's chilly and casts a shadow, or blocks the sun when it's hot. So this is how it works in your windows, essentially. When it is colder out, when it's below 67 degrees Celsius, when the material, not the air temperature necessarily, but the window itself is 67 degrees, it will change. It will essentially phase shift into a metal-like material, not blocking light, but blocking radiation coming through the window. So the material itself conducts the heat. It doesn't conduct the heat. It reflects off the heat, leaving the material and whatever's behind it cooler. But when that temperature drops, it shifts away from that metal-like material and allows that radiation through warming it up. So how does this technology actually work with this smart roof technology or the smart roof solution? According to this article that I have here, and I'll post it in the show notes. So to test the material in a rooftop system, the team created a 2 cm by 2 cm TARC, T-A-R-C, that's the acronym for temperature adaptive radiative coating, TARC, a 2 by 2 cm TARC thin film patch. Wu volunteered his own home as the first test site. The team installed many patches, which looked like scotch tape, on Wu's home last summer. They then utilized the data from the experiment to predict how TARC might work year-round in 15 distinct climate zones across the continental United States. The team found that TARC beat present roof coverings in 12 of the 15 climate zones and reported their findings in the journal Science. The material worked particularly well in locations with large temperature differences, like New York City's summer and winter, or the San Francisco Bay Area's night and day. In addition to the simulations, they used infrared spectroscopy experiments, which validated their findings. So this is a quote from Wu. Simple physics predicted TARC would work, but we were surprised it would work so well. We originally thought the switch from warming to cooling wouldn't be so dramatic. Our simulations, outdoor experiments, and lab experiments proved otherwise. It's really exciting. So what would this mean for you? So in terms of, we need to put this into the context of Manitoba, because most of the listeners here, even though we have some international viewers, most of the listeners are here from Manitoba, or at least from Canada. So what this would mean is you could produce this film and you overlay it over top of your roof. Certainly a lot of people, anybody who's worked on a roof before, myself included, knows how hot shingles can get, and they radiate heat, but they don't insulate heat very well. That's why you have insulation in your attic. So what the insulation does is it traps the heat inside, or it traps the conditions inside wherever you are. So when you pump in cold air, the cold air doesn't quickly dissipate outside the bounds of your home. The insulation keeps it in. Same thing with heat. It keeps the heat inside the home, and it keeps it from coming outside to inside. That's essentially what an insulator does. It's not a conductor. It's an insulator. What this thin film would do is it would allow, when temperatures drop low, say if we can tweak this material, let's say it stops, it phase shifts at 15 degrees Celsius. When it's 15 degrees outside, the air temperature is 15 degrees, it phase shifts to that dense, non-conductive material. So it reflects off all of the UV radiation coming down to your roof. And that means less heat is transferred into the home through the roof. That's the same material used on windows, so there's less radiation coming in through the windows and warming up the air inside your home. And then that shifts. So in the winter, that phase shifts back to, once it gets down below 15 degrees or even lower, it shifts back to that, not to that conductive side. It phase shifts so it can allow that radiation through, and that UV radiation begins to warm the roof of your house, which then radiates down into the rest of your house. What this effectively would do, because right now our homes don't really do all that well. I know I said before how insulation works. It doesn't exactly work like that, but it does. It doesn't stop things from coming in necessarily. It just tries to contain as much as you can inside the unit. So what this would do is it would allow more radiation through and would be able to keep the house warmer because it's insulated, so it's not escaping. Or it would keep the cool air in the summer and blocking any radiation from coming in through the roof, because your roof sees the most sunlight Anybody who's worked on a roof will tell you it gets really hot up there, and shingles can get very hot themselves. So right now, for most of us, when it gets hot, when it is, you know, we're going to be dealing with this very soon. It's 9 degrees today while I'm recording, so it's kind of cold. I have all my windows closed, and I'm switching between wearing a sweater and not wearing a sweater. In the summer, when it's, you know, 30 degrees outside, the heat radiates in. It comes, the UV radiation from the sun is coming directly down. It's beaming down and hitting your home or your apartment. And it's coming through the windows. It is going through the walls. It is coming through the ceiling. And it is warming. Just, it's radiating against your home into these usually dark surfaces, because shingles are dark surfaces and the glass allows the UV radiation through unless it has this type of coating on it. And it is beginning to heat the air and the materials inside the home and making the home warmer. Maybe not as warm because of insulation. It's not as warm as outside might be, but it is still warm and very hot inside your house. Anybody who lives here in Manitoba will attest that it gets very hot inside in the summer. And what normally happens, and what pretty much every house in Manitoba has, is an air conditioning system. So your air conditioning, you have an active thermometer, temperature regulator inside your house. When it gets too hot, when it gets beyond what you set it to, the air conditioning kicks on and it pumps in a bunch of cold air to cool down the inside of the house. So it'll cool for a while until it hits below that temperature threshold, or it gets down to whatever temperature you want it to get to, and then it shuts off, and then it warms up again, your air conditioning comes on. And this can be, especially in very hot climates and very, you know, hot seasons, like we saw last year with all of our, with the droughts and the heat dome, this has a large power demand. You're constantly turning on and off your air conditioning. And you probably have fans going. You probably have some kind of, you're probably making ice to like cool yourself down with. This is a lot of power demand that is creating a lot of, it's draining a lot of energy to use all of this technology to cool the air around you. And then conversely, in the winter, air temperature is very cold. It is cooling the materials on the outside of your house, and that cold starts to leach inside. The insulation helps dampen that again, and it keeps the air inside warm, but eventually it begins to leach in and changes the internal temperature of the house. And then your heating comes on, and it does kind of the opposite of what air conditioning does. It pumps in hot air to heat up the room inside and push back against that cold air that's leaching in. That's why a lot of our homes are painted brighter colors. They are ones that reflect a lot of light, so it doesn't absorb. If your house is painted black, it's going to be absorbing a lot of heat because, you know, the color black absorbs all visible wavelengths of light. So it's going to warm up a lot quicker. That's why a lot of modern houses are painted these softer colors, these creams and these yellows and these whites, because it reflects a lot more light and doesn't warm up as much. It's not a huge difference, but it's still noticeable. So having this coating on your roof essentially would help lower the amount of air conditioning and heating that you would need. So in the summer, it would phase shift to this non-conductive phase on all of your windows, on the roof, and no light or very little radiation would penetrate through and start to heat up your house. So it would take longer, just based on, you know, because it would still heat up because of the air temperature and just kind of as radiation continues throughout the day, it would still heat up your home, but it would heat up much slower and to a much smaller degree. So it would require less time. It would require less from your air conditioner to cool the house down because it's warming up slowly, much slower than it would without that type of film. And then conversely, in the winter, your house would stay warmer for much longer because it would be allowing more UV radiation through to warm up your house from the sun. It would work a lot better, I think, in the summer than it would the winter, because here in Manitoba, it gets so incredibly cold that we would still require heating to survive, more or less. This wouldn't just do away with the need for heating, but it would reduce the amount. It would reduce the amount of time that your heating would need to be on. It would reduce the amount of time that your air conditioning would need to be on. It would reduce the need for fans in the winter, fans in the summer and radiators in the winter, which reduces overall the power demand, which in areas like Alberta or Saskatchewan or Ontario, where they have a large amount of energy, or almost all, in I think Alberta's case, all energy drawn from non-renewable resources, that reduces the need for that power demand and reduces the emissions, because you're producing less power that is needed to power that grid and power these appliances in the home. And then obviously in the winter, it's reducing the demand for natural gas because your heaters don't need to be on as often to keep the house warm, or don't need to be on to such a high level, because the more you want to heat, the more natural gas you're going to need to burn to make the house warm again. So this is incredibly, incredibly interesting, because while it's not going to solve anything, like we've talked about before with talking about climate recapture, it is one tool in our toolbox that we can use. So solving climate change and getting us ready for a future where climate change, well, we are in a world where climate change is happening. We are feeling the impacts of climate change. Just look outside. We just got through an incredibly long winter, and we're going to have a short summer and then probably a really cold winter after this one, and then a really long summer after that one. We're already in a world where climate change is being felt. And we're going to need a number of different tools to reduce or to mitigate the impacts of climate change, to reduce the emissions that we're putting into the environment, to capture the emissions that are there, to capture the amount of carbon that's in the atmosphere and in our oceans. And we're going to need a lot of different options. It's not like we're going to find a silver bullet that solves the climate crisis. It's not going to just be, oh, we live our lives perfectly as normal, except we have these like machines that truck around the ocean, taking away carbon from the ocean, and the ocean is going to become a carbon sink. It's not going to work like that. We're going to need multiple different options, and like this, just small little things that are going to become just ubiquitous moving forward that help so much, that they make little tiny changes that you're not going to notice, really. And it's going to make a lot of difference. Like, everyone thinks when you're thinking about solving climate change, everyone's like, oh, everything's going to change. We're going to stop using plastics, and we're going to, you know, everyone's going to be driving electric cars, and we're going to get rid of the oil fields and all of this, and it's going to be this great societal upheaval. Like, that's just not feasible. It's not economically feasible to just turn a switch and everything's different. What it's going to be is these small incremental changes, these little tweaks that you really don't notice. Like, tell me, those of you who own homes, do you know what your shingles are made of? Because most of you are probably living in a house that you didn't build yourself. You're not the first owner of that home. Maybe some of you are lucky and you're the second owner of your home. But you don't know how that was constructed. A lot of people don't have the knowledge to know what's that constructed. What do you know if you have this vanadium coating on your windows already? It's vanadium dioxide. You can ask a window person. Maybe they will know. It's small tweaks like this. Like, I can see in the future, every new home that's built, or every time someone's shingles are redone or their roof is redone, they're going to put this vanadium dioxide coating over top of their roof. And they'll be like, oh yeah, it's going to save you X number of dollars on heating every year. Like, the same thing that they tell you when you get new windows. It'll be like, oh yeah, this is just going to save you X number of dollars every year on your heating costs or your cooling, your air conditioning costs. And that's just going to be a thing that happens, that it has a very good climate impact. It helps us. It goes a long way to helping with the climate crisis, but it's such a minor change that really I don't think anybody is going to have too much of a problem with. Obviously, it's going to cost money, probably. It's going to be like, oh, yeah, it's going to cost extra dollars to install this on your roof or whatever. But eventually, like most things, it's just going to be part of the cost. It's going to be part of the process of doing these things, is having something like this vanadium dioxide coating on it. The same way that when you get new windows, you're going to get efficient windows, or when you, you know, when you put in new light fixtures, it's going to be, you know, low emission, you know, eco-friendly light fixtures. It's going to be eco-friendly appliances. Like, these things already exist and they're already ubiquitous. It's just going to be more minor changes and minor technological advancements like this that nobody really thinks about that are going to really help the climate crisis. It's not going to be this massive thing where one day it's like some Tony Stark-like tech billionaire stands there and is like, I have saved the world. It's not going to be like that. It's going to be these little tiny things, the coating on your windows, the coating on your roof, buying an electric car, or unbeknownst to you, your province has created out in the middle of nowhere a solar farm in one of the areas that gets the most sun, and right next to that is a wind farm, and they're incrementally shifting away from oil and natural gas. Or, you know, in the future, instead of getting a gas-powered furnace, it's gonna be like, oh yeah, we have this new, you know, electrically powered furnace for you to use. It's going to save you X number of dollars. It's going to completely cut out your natural gas costs, and it's going to be a slight increase of like X number of dollars on your electricity bill, but it's going to get rid of your natural gas bill. It's going to get rid of your heating bill. And, you know, in a couple of years, it pays for itself. It's going to be things like that that are going to make the big difference in the climate crisis. At least on an individual level. Still, we are going to have to deal eventually with the big three that I've talked about before, the big three of power generation, manufacturing, and shipping. Those are the three sectors that contribute the most to climate change and contribute the most to carbon emissions. Once we can solve those three things, the rest of our lives, the rest of it is going to be very little change. Like, if you really love gas-powered cars that much, our generation and our children's generation, maybe or even our grandkids' generation, they're still going to be driving gas-powered cars in some ways. It might become more of a premium for our grandchildren. But it's just one of those things that technology changes over time, and our lives are going to change in these very minute ways that are going to make such a difference for the climate crisis. All right, I'm going to wrap that up here. I've got about a minute left. I want to thank you very, very much for listening. This has been Tech Talk on Let's Talk About. I've been Jason, you've been the audience. Thank you very, very much for listening. If you're listening live on 101.5 UM FM, keep that dial on 101.5. You've got some great songs, great shows coming up right after this one. If you're listening on Spotify, thank you very much for your download. Follow, share, do all those lovely things. You can follow me on Twitter at Jason Pajak, JasonPajak, and catch me on Thursday on The Hockey Show with Teebs. I'm going to be kind of co-hosting that for the foreseeable future, so it's going to be a lot of fun. We're going to talk a lot about playoffs, and as always, have yourselves a wonderful, wonderful week. Stay safe, everybody.